B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifschitz. Tucker Silva is here today. We got a lot of NBA stuff happening right now with a couple of Game 7s. One tonight, a big one that we'll break down throughout the day. There was some stuff in the NHL last night that happened as well. U.S. Open happening at the moment. A bunch of other things to bet the Euro. I'll just start, Dan. I took England yesterday in our podcast. I think I lost $455, and I fell asleep, didn't watch any of it, so that was good. So I'll take my L. I'm out on the Euro. I'm out on the Euro. Out. And even though I'm still want to watch it and bet it. But, yeah, and then the Philadelphia won, which we had, and then I took Philadelphia's second half. So that cut into it a little bit, and then I had the Clippers. So, you know, a little minus 2.35 unit day, but it could have been really bad. Overall, though, I'm ready to go today, man. I'm ready to go. We got picks. We actually can actually, like, break down some games today. We usually start with what happened last night. I don't know where you want to start, the 76ers or the Clippers.
Let's start with the later game. Let's start with the Clippers. And for those who gave all of you gave me crap about picking the Clippers, suck it. Suck it hard. Because that was without Kawhi Leonard in two games. Clippers win four straight. And last night, yikes. If you are a Jazz backer, I mean, Put the covers back over your head and go back to sleep for a while, because that was rough, man. And I feel for you, honestly. I mean, even though I was on the Clippers, I do feel for you. You know, it almost was the situation with the Lakers, except, you know, the Jazz didn't lose anyone. Listen, if you didn't watch the game, the story goes like this. First half, first quarter, both teams are shooting it ridiculous. The Jazz are shooting from three as they did in the first half of game five. Clippers, I think, are down by two in the first quarter. Second quarter, Utah can't miss. Jordan Clarkson takes over the game. I think he had 22 himself in the second quarter. He was ridiculous. Utah couldn't miss. And I think at half, it was maybe like a 22. It was the lead got up to 25 at some point. I know that. I was at my buddy's place last night. I was like, this is over. And we were both on the Clippers. I was like, this is over. This is rough to watch. I can't possibly see this being a game. Third quarter, Clippers start getting back into it slowly but surely. And all of a sudden, they make a 14-2 run, 14-0 run. And Utah can't hit anything. The Clippers come back, and in the fourth quarter, Terrence Mann, who took over in the third quarter, I think he had 20 points in the third quarter, and literally the whole team could not miss. Patrick Beverley is nailing threes, and Terrence Mann's nailing threes. Reggie Jackson's making contested layups over Rudy Gobert at the bucket. It was ridiculous. It was really cool to see. Obviously, as a Clippers backer, it was great to watch. I don't think this team, and this take sounds ridiculous, I don't think this team is better with Kawhi, but I think potentially it makes the role players around them a little bit more dangerous, because they have to attack. They can't be lackadaisical and say, let's give it to Paul George, let's give it to Kawhi Leonard, and kind of sit back and let them do their thing, let them cook. They have to attack, and Reggie Jackson and Terrence Mann did that last night. Now Marcus Morris has been really good. He basically no-showed last night. Didn't give them anything. He wasn't great on the defensive end. Basically no-showed. So, I mean, I don't know, but I think the Clippers, to me, look good. I think they're going to beat the Phoenix Suns, and we'll get into that series and the price and everything, but I feel pretty good about my Clippers to win the West and to make it to the NBA title pick. I do feel good about that. And that game was ridiculous. It was the best comeback I've seen, better than Atlanta's comeback versus Philly.
So going into the night, I think one of the questions was, will we see extenders? So obviously, I think we got a wrangle, I think, at one point. I don't know if the refs had anything to do with the Sixers game.
Scott Foster imprinted himself late.
There was a couple of, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
The story with Utah is this. Don't give up 80 points in the second half. Don't give up 80 points in the second half. And then the other thing with them is, I don't know if the Mike Conley thing screwed them up. Because Ingles comes off the bench. He's one of your better shooters. Snyder didn't know what he was doing yet.
Conley was, by the way, not close to 100%, but he toughed it out, and credit to him.
Five points.
I know, but he was playing hard. He was not like a James Harden situation.
Who was covering man?
They rotated everyone, dude. But for the most part, it was Donovan Mitchell in that third quarter run. And Mitchell, you could tell the ankle. I mean, I know he was shooting ridiculously and scoring. You could tell on the defensive end, the ankle, he couldn't turn on it. Could not turn on it. I know he was doing Euro steps, and he had moments that were really great last night, but he couldn't turn on it.
I think Utah's a good team. They're well coached, and we can get into the coach whatever you want. Another point.
I don't know how well coached they are.
Record-wise, over the last few years, he's one of the top guys. I think if you look at their team, though, it was so funny at the All-Star game this year. They were crazy. Nobody wanted to take like Mitchell. Nobody wanted to. Mike Conley was a sneak in at the end because who got hurt? Davis or somebody. And they were crapping on them. Like, yeah, we don't take the Jazz seriously. Whatever. They get the one seed. If you really look at the Jazz long term, I think they got to do something with Rudy Gobert.
Oh yeah. If you didn't watch last night, Gobert's a disaster. The Nuggets down 3-1 in the series last year. How do they beat the Jazz? Well, they got Rudy Gobert coming out of the paint and forced him to close the three-point line. You know what Rudy Gobert cannot do? Leave the paint.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always say, oh, Rudy Gobert better than Miles Turner. Okay, listen. That's your right to your opinion. Miles Turner can close out the three-point line.
He can do a little more, too, I think, Turner. You know, he can shoot from the outside.
He can shoot. Yeah, I personally like Turner. You guys all know I have a big man crush on Turner. Okay, that is the case. But the fact is that last night showed exactly why the value of a guy like Rudy Gobert is so overrated in the regular season. He's a regular season player. When guys aren't scheming, you know, they're playing one game. Like, in the regular season, it's very much like baseball where these guys are going out there playing and just kind of like whatever. They're not trying the hardest they can every single night. You get hurt that way. And the playoffs is different, and you're scheming, and, you know, they absolutely, absolutely exploited them. Absolutely exploited Rudy Gobert.
I think that Paul George deserves some credit for a guy who's been pretty bad in the playoffs.
1,000%. I think I owe Playoff P a playoff apology.
And Ty Lue. Great. Ty Lue to get guards to play. I mean, so, they went small and it worked.
Okay, so here's my frustration still with Lue. He didn't make a single adjustment in the first half. He just let them play and get their butts kicked. And then he made the adjustment finally in the second half. But, like, it took him so long. And I really do wonder if it's more than Ty Lue. Like, I wonder how much influence Chauncey Billups has there.
Cassell, I think, is on there, right? They have a bunch of guys on that.
I really do wonder how much influence guys like that have and say, look, you know, Ty, we got to change it. Now, credit to Ty Lue. He has really transformed Reggie Jackson as a player. And last night, that was awesome. Lue frustrates me, but he seemingly finds – he's not a great – X's and O's head coach, and he doesn't make a good adjustments, but he finds a way to win, man. And he 12-1 in closeout games. Ty Lue is 12-1 in his career in closeout games as a head coach. He finds a way to win. So I don't like him. He's not my first choice to be head coach, but last night he made the switch and said, "Yeah, we're gonna go down with Gobert closing out the 3-point line," and he can't do it, dude. Rudy Gobert is a dinosaur in an age where it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Clippers are next round. and Phoenix for that matter. If the Chris Paul, like if Chris Paul's not ready to go, I don't know what the situation with him
I
is.
I cannot imagine that Chris Paul will be ready for game one.
For
or
game one,
two.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe even two.
I assume he's probably not. I heard he's not playing the game four at best.
Wow.
If the Clippers won last night, he wouldn't. It's a 14-day quarantine. He won't play to game three or game four at best. I think it'll be his first game in the series, which is, in my opinion, so effing stupid. Let them play. Can you let them play? Like, what are you doing? Let them play. So stupid. So stupid.
You mentioned regular season players who perform well and not in the playoffs. Can we say the same about Ben Simmons? I mean, I'm surprised he didn't foul out. First off,
I mean, Ben's—he was out. He was out a large portion of that game. Man, I don't know what to do. Ben Simmons is another guy I have absolutely zero interest in adding on my team. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think Simmons is like a terrible player, and I do think that he can guard, one through four, maybe even sometimes one through five, and he's very, very good. He just, there's still, he just, offensively, he is a black hole. He really is. And at the free throw line, if you play Haka Simmons, like, if you have a guy like Simmons on your floor, you better be a very, very good free throw shooting team and three-point team around him. And while the Sixers added Seth Curry, which, by the way, is looking like a fantastic.
Oh, my God. Addition. I was just about to say, you look at everybody on that team, Embiid, Simmons, Harris. Seth Curry has been the best producer game in and game out.
Easily. Yeah, he's easily the best player for Philly in this series, in my opinion. It's not Harris. Harris quit on. It's Seth Curry.
If Harris could just be like, I don't know, like get his head out of his ass and just play, they would have won the series all, like, earlier.
Okay, so let's talk about that game. I think we've kind of ball washed the Clippers.
So just real quick on that, the spread was -3 when we did our podcast at 2 yesterday. Sometimes I saw it 2 some places, 2.5. So I don't know what the closing number was.
2.5.
Okay, 2.5. It really did come down to free throws at the end. So we picked. I think we double PP'd it. I was down at the half, and I'm like, Sixers are going to win this game. There was something late in that first quarter where I saw Harris get a little hot, and for some reason they kept going to Gallinari on offense. I'm like, what are you doing here? What's his name? Trae Young got hot late in the game there. I don't know what the Hawks were doing going to Gallinari consistently late in the game. I didn't understand it. I mean, give the ball to Trae Young. And do that thing where – and Herter was pretty decent too.
Yeah.
He missed a couple of shots overall on threes, but
I mean, Bogdanovich got hurt, and that really swung a lot. They really took away a big scoring option, and now all of a sudden you had to put Gallinari.
Lou Williams has given them nothing, like literally nothing at all. He freaked on one of the fouls.
You're talking about last night, because in the series he's been fantastic.
Well, yeah, last night he gave him nothing.
Yeah, last night he gave him nothing. But I mean, in the series, I mean, a couple of the early games, Lou Williams was fantastic. Now, if they want to win Game 7, Lou Williams is going to have to step off that bench, especially without a guy like Bogdanovich, and you probably are inserting Gallinari into the starting lineup.
Just wrapping up the 76ers, they won the game. They came back and won. Doc handled Simmons okay. It was Simmons in foul trouble all night. It was Maxey that was the difference, if you ask me. But Doc almost blew it again.
He's not a. Can we stop with the Celtics should hire Doc stuff? Doc is not a good head coach.
No, actually, I don't want Doc at all. It's got nothing to do with. I don't want Doc anymore.
He is not. Listen, I know where the Sixers are, and I get it. He is not a good head coach. He is not. And it would not surprise me. The Sixers open up as 7.5-point favorites.
I couldn't believe that.
For game 7. Wouldn't surprise me if they lost that game.
Oh, my
God,
I couldn't.
Because of Doc.
Now,
I think that if Milwaukee wins, then the NBA is will find a way to get Philly into the finals or into the Eastern Conference finals. So, I think they want the Brooklyn-Philly matchup anyways. But, I mean, those are two big markets. But, I mean,
if you can get Brooklyn and Philly in the final and Clippers.
And the Clippers. Suns are going to draw very little in terms of TV ratings. And I know, if you're an NBA fan, the Suns are very exciting for you. I don't disagree. I get it. Like, they're a fun team to watch. But in terms of the actual getting, like, the audience that isn't the people who sit there and watch NBA games night in and night out, that is not a team you want anywhere near the conference finals. You just don't. It's like putting, like, New Orleans in there. These are just media markets that aren't big enough for, you know, the finals. And the NBA, you know, normally this is not a big, you know, not that big of a deal. You know, it would suck. You obviously want, you know, Clippers, Lakers, obviously. And so normally it's not that big of a deal. But, I mean, like, coming off a COVID year where there's a lot of stuff about ratings, and the argument for why the ratings are down and why the ratings suck, that's for another day. You know, do that on your own time, as they say on the 2 to 6 show. Yeah. But, like, there's a reason, and the NBA needs to recover from that. So I do think that it's really important for them to get good ratings in the playoffs, extend these series. Like, I think you need that. And I will say, I thought Scott Foster was very lean toward Atlanta last night. I really did. I thought Foster was...
You know what one of the plays was? Remember when Maxey hit a three? It was the Howard play on Williams we were talking about. That should have been a three in a turnover. Like,
I agree.
That bucket should have counted, and then it should have went the other way.
I agree.
They saved him 3 points.
Yep. I thought Foster was very pro-Atlanta all game. And then at the end, the final 4 or 5 minutes of that game, everything was... Everything went Philly.
It was like, all right, here we go.
Yep.
And just when you thought Doc was going to poop his pants again, here comes Scott Foster. Hey, Chris in Plainville's on today. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Absolutely. Hey, we're a game in town here in Plainville, so I just have a question for you, if you don't mind.
All right.
Basically, there was a recent survey that went out that said that the state was very much in favor of sports betting by almost 70% to, you know, whatever percent, and that's good. So I think we're getting closer to being able to get the sports betting in. And geo-tracking, to me, is very important. You know, hopefully Plainridge will be able to get their fair share. And what do you think about geo-tracking? New Hampshire has it. Rhode Island has it. And I'm hoping that we can, with our casinos, I think, what do we have, 3 or 4? I think we have 4 casinos, right?
Yeah, MGM. Yeah, thanks, Chris. We'll get into this. If you really want to listen to it, we did a bit on it yesterday. Toucher and Rich, 7 o'clock. If you want to listen to it, it's nothing's changing for those who are like, "Hey, it's exciting." Nothing's changing yet.
Joe, put it like this: Joe is a hell of a lot more optimistic than I am.
Yeah, I at least. I mean, long story short, I'm glad that they listened, and I think that they're interested in the tax money. I'm just going to be real. I think it's hard to say, "Hey, sports betting," over everything else that just happened in the pandemic. That's what I got out of the. The thing that happened this week, the little meeting there. And I kind of don't blame it. But the money.
We'll get into it more. I mean, listen. So you want to make a bad situation worse? Like, come on, it's whatever. What's
I know. You know, the reason why nothing's changing. We've been beating the drum for a long time. It's hey, they listened. They listened, and that's all I can ask for. Maybe it would be great if they could have voted. That would have been great. All right, more. We got to do this. I'm pumped about this game 7 tonight in the NBA. There was a Jesus Montreal Canadiens. Wonder if people are starting to dabble on that number in the NHL as well. But anything you guys want to discuss, 617-779-0985. It is the DraftKings over under show.
The DraftKings over under show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I thought last night was a good night for the league.
Especially for the league, man.
What about three game sevens, though? Would that have... See, the only thing with that is... So, I think the wrangle's real. I will always back the wrangle for those who really don't understand the ref angle. It's the ref angle.
Yep.
Scott Foster was involved in the 76ers game last night. The 76ers needed to win the game to extend the series. They did. They covered barely, but they covered. And they won. The flip side is the Clippers were, what, 3-point favorites? What were the Clippers last night? I'm sorry.
3-point dogs.
Dogs. Now, I just thought Utah really screwed the pooch. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, they blew that game.
Yeah, I just think Utah but just...
I mean, I'll tell you, fourth quarter, if you watch that game, fourth quarter, foul... Utah had like four or five fouls or called on the Clippers in the first minute of the game. Like, I really thought they tried to extend that, and the Clippers were just too hot. It just got away from Utah. Now, I think that it was pretty fairly reffed, but I thought the fourth quarter, I think the fouls were 8-0 until they started intentionally fouling. I think it was 8-0, like, until they started intentionally fouling. So, I thought they were trying to keep Utah in the game. I also thought Utah was at least more aggressive around the rim. And, you know, the LA was just shooting the lights out. But, I mean, there were definitely a couple, you know, in the lane calls. They didn't call on Reggie Jackson or I don't know, man. I thought they were trying to get three game sevens. They got two game sevens. They got two really good game sevens. I think that, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's I think that they're the NBA is in a good position, honestly, good position, the way that everything worked out so far.
Despite no stars, Dan, and despite you know, people being hurt, and
well, if Philly is in, they have Joel Embiid. If Brooklyn gets in, you have Kevin Durant. If Milwaukee gets in, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo. If Atlanta gets in, which I think is probably their least likely, they would probably be the least happy about. They'll get Trae Young, who's a budding superstar. They have, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul in, you know, for Phoenix, and Paul George in the West. And it's not the star power you want, but there are some names, and at least you're getting some bigger markets. L.A., hopefully Philly, or maybe Philly, maybe Brooklyn. Like, they're getting some, you know, some hopefully some bigger markets, and at least they have one right now.
So do we know who the officials are for tonight's game seven?
I've not seen, and I will double check right now. I highly doubt that there's anything else. Yeah. 9 a.m. We'll find out right as the show is ending. 9 a.m. who the ref assignment is for the Brooklyn game. Look, I'm just going to say this. If you're asking me who I think the NBA wants, I think it's Brooklyn. I know that people don't like hearing that, and Celtics fans hate this team because of Kyrie and whatever. It's Brooklyn, man. It's Brooklyn. That's who the NBA wants. That is who the NBA desires. If you're asking me who it is, the answer is Brooklyn. So we'll find out what happens, and you know, we'll find out, you know, tonight, and we'll get into that game coming up. This one's really tough. Milwaukee open is a 1.5 point favorite on the offshores overnight.
moved to a pick'em by the morning, so you saw a lot of the Vegas casinos open as a pick'em, and now it's, you know, Brookwood -1, -1.5. We're seeing some movement to the 1.5. I do think that the large majority of the public is going to be on Brooklyn tonight. I also think that sometimes, I mean, sometimes the books just take a hit on these big NBA games, but they clean up enough during the series where it evens out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone was on Milwaukee for that game 5, and they cleaned up on Brooklyn. So right. It's like, that's kind of my point.
Yeah, and the one spread or the 1.5, I need to know who the official is before I make a bet. But I'm leaning Brooklyn.
You know, starting off, give me Brooklyn money line. I'm riding the horse -115. Let's do it.
I won't double down because I don't want to jinx it because we hit last night. But I feel very good about Brooklyn. If there's no Tony Brothers in the mix, I just.
Why would you not want Brothers?
Well, that actually might be the flip side of it. Is that you might want a ref like that.
I would want Brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA did what it could, in my opinion, to get LA into the, you know, the NBA finals. Like, I don't know if you guys know, James Capers is the head ref in that game last night. Utah had lost 9 straight playoff games with James Capers as the head ref. Now it's 10. It's the longest streak in any team.
That's like Chris Paul level.
See, it's the longest streak for any team because it's not because Chris Paul's been on multiple teams. Yeah. Otherwise, so I guess Chris Paul teams might be longer with Scott Foster. And by the way, you know who we're getting? We're getting a Scott Foster game in that series, right?
Yeah, I have
1,000%. So you just chalk that up as a loss for Phoenix immediately.
So. If you're giving out a pick right now, I want to discuss the game a little bit later.
Yeah, that's fun.
But if we're giving out picks, game 7 feel, I got to go under. I have to go under tonight. And I think it's 221.
No, 215.
Oh, my God.
215 is
the
total.
Where did I see 221?
I don't know. That was the game 6 total. Was 221, which is
either way, game 7 feel, man. That's I see it right here now. All right.
By the way, Clippers opened the Suns have opened a -4 against the Clippers.
Who's the favorite in the series?
I have not found a series line on that yet. I will keep looking. If I find a series line, I'll let you know. But I've not seen a series line. I don't know. I mean, this says that they're playing tomorrow, which cannot possibly be correct. So, tomorrow. They're playing tomorrow. I did not know that.
The no rest?
Suns game 1 versus Los Angeles Clippers scheduled for Sunday.
That's whack.
That is crazy.
Give me under 215 PP. Bucks, Nets. Yeah, I'm on the DraftKings app right now. 215. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. 215 is the total. I mean, look, you and I both talked about it. I think this one goes over. I think you're going to get the fouls at the end of the game. I think that this one has a chance to go over. We'll see. This is gonna be a really weird game. We'll get into it at the 8 o'clock hour. You know, but I. This is going to be a real weird game, man. It's going to be very strange.
There's 2 games on Sunday. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Phoenix and LA are the early game.
Of course. I get that. I do. I think it should be Monday, but, I mean, start the series, I guess.
And then Hawks and...
Phoenix has been waiting around for... And also, if you get game 1 out of the way, you know how many... That's less games for Chris Paul to be able to play.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, the NBA is not going to do Phoenix any favors. If you're asking who they want, even if it's the second team in LA, it's LA or Phoenix. You know what they prefer. So,
I'm going to talk to Luke Brigandi. He is from Prop Swap. There's a ton of stuff going on. I wonder what you got for the U.S. Open there, Tucker. If you got any questions for him, I know Dan made his first purchase that we'll talk about coming up in a minute here, but Luke Pergandy of PropSwap joins us next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline right now. We'll welcome in Luke Pergandy. He is from PropSwap. I call him the Prop Father, and he's with us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning, Luke. How's everything going today, bud?
I'm good, guys. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm looking at some long shots here, and I think I should tell you first off that Dan Lifschitz has made a purchase on PropSwap, and it was before yesterday.
Yep, it was yesterday. I got you yesterday afternoon, Luke.
And do you want to tell them the bet?
Yeah, I bought the there was the Clippers ticket out there at 9-1 or 9.5-1 or whatever it was, and I pretty much the only thing that I could find at least around here that will actually take my bet was 8.5-1. And I wanted a little bit more on the Clippers, so I had a little bit of money in PropSwap, like I told you, and I made my first purchase on PropSwap buying the Clippers to win the title ticket yesterday, and I'm feeling quite good about that this morning. I feel like that was a good a good investment and a good decision.
Big Terrence Mann fan you are now.
I am a huge Terrence Mann fan. How dare you?
local boy, Luke, actually, from Massachusetts.
Is he?
Yeah, I played here. Went to Tilton High School in New Hampshire.
Yeah, grew up in Lowell.
And everyone always knew he was going to be a star. Hey, I'd love to shoot the breeze with you about just some sports. We've been talking, like, I don't know. We always look at like some sort of what does the league want, right? Clippers definitely, I think, is what the NBA will want in the final. Then the other side of it, I think they want Brooklyn tonight. So I know that there's some stuff out there when it comes to the 76ers. Obviously Brooklyn Nets to win the championship. There's plenty of tickets, even Phoenix for that matter, who might not be getting the love in there without, Chris Paul at the moment. But like, what have you seen as far as action goes when it comes to the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of who the league wants, and your point there is like the refs are going to shade that matchup. So your point is if they want the Clippers, then the refs are going to make, you know, calls so that the Clippers win. I subconsciously, perhaps, you know, I think we refs can be subconsciously making calls. There's a ton of data that says that refs make subconscious calls for home teams because we're social humans and we want to appease our friends. But I don't think that, you know, Silver is dictating to these referees, hey, make sure you make calls so that the LA Clippers get in.
Oh, Luke, you couldn't. You are incorrect, my friend. I promise you. This is. We've been doing this for a long time. There's literally a wrangle.
Yeah, it's called the wrangle, the ref angle.
Yeah, and you. I mean, for instance, the guy who ref the Clippers game last night, and I'm blanking on who it was.
James Capers.
The Jazz 0-9 in their previous 9 playoff meetings with James Capers, straight up in any sort of matchup, the longest streak in the NBA. So James Capers gets the call, LA makes the comeback. They're now 0-10. Same thing with Scott Foster teams, and Chris Paul. Chris Paul, I think, is 0-11 in his last 11 games, ref by Scott Foster. Luke, we need to introduce you to the ref angle because I promise you it's quite profitable over the past 4 or 5 years that we've been doing this.
Okay. I'm happy to take a look at any strategy you guys put forward. I just, you know, information just flows so freely these days. So if Silver was either, you know, texting these refs or emailing these refs, or, you know, even verbally, like everything is recorded these days, his product would literally get thrown in the garbage if he was dictating outcomes. And I think he's smart. He's smart enough to know that.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's the WWE. I mean, Donnie has done podcasts where he's like, yeah, this is what Silver does. They assign refs that they know don't like certain teams, so they don't have to say it, but you know exactly what's going to happen, so you get the edge. And a guy like James Capers clearly has something against the Utah Jazz. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was growing up or something, but, you know, for instance, the Milwaukee-Brooklyn game, game six, Milwaukee is something like 12-0 with one of the refs in that game. You want to know why? He's from Milwaukee. I mean, I don't think that this is necessarily a thing where you have to tell someone. I think this is just the NBA is very strategically assigning refs to games, knowing that certain refs have certain biases.
Right. So you're saying individual refs have long-standing biases against certain teams. It's changing year after year. That's different than what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, or players, Chris Paul. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Just moving on here. I was kind of hoping for a Bruins-Montreal final. It never happened, obviously, Bruins. These Montreal tickets, man, like, to win the Stanley Cup after their big win last. But, like, I'm looking at dude, this is a moneymaker for you guys right now. This is like a tease right here, these Canadiens tickets.
Yeah, it's crazy. So when they were down 3-1 to the Leafs, this guy had a $50 200-1 Canadiens bet in his pocket, and they go down 3-1. So he's like, let me just get my money back. Let me get a ham sandwich for this wager. Posted for $45 on PropSwap. It sells, of course, because, you know, who wouldn't get 220-1 odds on the Canadiens at the time? Obviously, the Canadiens advanced past them. And here they are up 2-1 against the Knights. That ticket, their odds are now 4-1. Mm. That $45 purchase is now worth $2,000.
Wow.
I'm surprised it's not worth more. if they get the 3 games. I know. I guess that's fair. Yeah. If they get the 3-1, what is that thing worth?
If they get the 3-1, I mean, they're still got to go through Tampa, right? Assuming that Tampa wins on the other side.
What about the Islanders here? There's some tickets for the Islanders out there too.
There are. Yeah. So Islanders are 12-1. So plus 1200. If the Canadiens win another game, and granted, you know, Fleury could have the Knights should have won that game last night. Fleury just had that error where he kicked the puck into the front of the net. The Habs score on an empty net. But if they win a third game and go up 3-1, I mean, they're still going to be a dog, presumably. So say the odds get to 2-1, that ticket is now worth $3,000, 3,500. Max it collects is 10 grand.
Okay, gotcha.
So if you work backwards, if they're even money going into the Stanley Cup, which they won't be, they'll be a dog. It would be max worth 5,000.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
All right, Luke, I got a question for you, all right, because I want to get into the mass betting thing in a second here, but there are some people that, you know, maybe take action and they see the other people and what they're betting, and sometimes they go against it to, you know, kind of profit on it or to hedge their losses. How do you, like, do you bet personally and at all? Are you looking at some of the tickets and maybe, this one's available and someone just bought this? Are you ever fade or following some of the stuff that's happening on your own site and betting maybe another way?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I make bets all the time for myself. It's mostly futures, obviously, making it with a prop swap angle so I can sell it, you know, later. But of course, I mean, that Habs ticket, a $45 purchase at 220-1 odds on the Canadiens. I mean, my God, we get tempted all the time. Now, granted, we want to leave the fun tickets for our customers, so, you know, for the most part, we will leave them. But if a ticket sits there for 3 days, and, you know, it's a team we like, you know, whether it's I still do think the Golden Knights win that series. I don't know if they win the Stanley Cup, but I do think they will beat the Canadiens. But, you know, a team like the Golden Knights, or I've always liked the Clippers. I thought the Clippers, so congrats to Dan on grabbing that ticket. I thought the Clippers won that, even though they went down 2-0. I get asked all the time, like, when do I sell X team? Right? Like, what I have this Jazz ticket, I have the Sixers ticket, I have the Boston Bruins ticket. Like, when do I sell? And I couldn't tell enough people to sell their Utah Jazz ticket. They were down to 2-1 odds when they were 2-1 to win the NBA Finals,
yeah,
and they're
crazy.
Not even in the West Finals yet. And you can sell your Jazz bet at 2-1. Like, my God, that is ridiculous for a team that still has to go through Phoenix. Phoenix is for real, by the way. The Phoenix Suns are a legitimate contender. Chris Paul is an incredible leader. DeAndre Ayton has improved so much from last year. Devin Booker is a superstar. But if I could sell my Utah Jazz bet at 2-1 odds and I got him at 50-1, I mean,
yeah,
you got to take profit on that.
You have to do that. Now let me ask you. When you place bets, and then make sure that you split them into two tickets? Because I heard
oh
a podcast
gosh,
with your partner on Chicken Dinner with Sam Panjanovic. He's talking about how, you know, whenever he places bets, he always splits them into two tickets, one for himself and one to sell just in case. Is that something that is strategy that you follow as well?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, if you're betting on the Canadians, you know, so even if you went into we offered odds of 220-1 when they were down 3-1 in that series, but the market was about 150-1. So can you imagine if you're sitting on two 150-1 tickets right now, what your options are?
Yeah.
So yes, always split bets into multiple tickets. It just gives you options.
So I like that you mentioned that. Here, I got to go through a local, or I got to go some offshore, you know, or I got to drive to New Hampshire, you know what I mean, or Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Word has that you may have been in Arizona recently from some birdies I talked to, because they just went legal now, right, for sports betting?
Yeah.
Right? So
yep. Arizona's moving forward.
There you go. So, and then maybe that's why you like you're pumping up the Suns a little bit. I don't know. Maybe there's a little sway there. But anyways,
I mean, put Luke's opinion aside. That's 2-1 right now.
But like, I'm just busting jobs. But real quick, I sat in we sat in this meeting, this Zoom meeting about these 20 bills in Massachusetts this week. And I don't want to. We keep getting ourselves upset about it because we want Massachusetts to pass legalized betting. Dude, there's like $500 million that they project. There's way more than that, by the way. But what have you heard? We can talk all day about what we've heard.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about Massachusetts legalizing sports betting anytime?
I'll say this. That is the number one most frustrating state for insiders, for obviously, you know, the big company that's headquartered there. It is far and away the number one most frustrating state. Do I think it happens in the next 12 months? I do. I think it will get authorized. Now, the next question becomes from authorization to implementation. That could be a big gap. Like, Illinois is notorious for fumbling everything. They took a while from getting it legalized to actually live.
But
now,
look at New Jersey, though. The top betting state, you know?
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, Jersey moved at the speed of light for this thing. And Jersey was pushing for this for, you know, a decade and a half. So New Jersey was pushing for this since the mid-90s. They were the clear largest supporter of any state. Obviously, the casinos and tracks.
I mean, if you've been to Atlantic City, Luke, you know why. I mean, I was there a couple weeks ago, and oh boy, it's a disaster without sports betting. So yeah, that makes sense.
No, it helps the casinos. It helps, you know, tax coffers. Obviously, everyone wins. Like everyone is in agreement that when sports betting occurs in a given state, it's nothing but a net positive. Obviously, taxpayers benefit, and all of this money is getting gambled illegally. So why not tax it and regulate it? So do I think Massachusetts happens in the next 12 months? I do, but I, you know, it's a really frustrating state. So my condolences, but that's obviously great for PropStop. We obviously want, you know, more sellers out there who can post legal gambling tickets. So.
Dude, and I was just going to tell you that, like, you know, you guys can spend a lot of money in advertising in this. I'm telling you, Massachusetts is where you want to advertise. And the reason why I say that is, we're sponsored by DraftKings here, but 30% of the people are driving to New Hampshire to bet with Massachusetts addresses.
Yeah, so the third 30% of the 30% of the tickets wagered in New Hampshire are from Massachusetts addresses.
But ridiculous. Think about that. These right. people want to bet legally. Like, they actually want to bet legally. Like, I know some people who don't, okay? Let's just be honest with it. But, like, that's huge. That's huge. And the fact that what you guys are doing, like, it's legal. People will go on the site and do that. And I just, that's the one thing that, like, opened my eyes up is that people want to do this because it is legal. And I hate politics talks, but, man, we're hoping this thing comes through soon. I want to ask you about the U.S. Open real quick. Dude, it's one of the best things to golf on. Tucker, who's one of our producers, kid loves golf. We're always talking about it all the time here. But this thing's kind of wide open right now. There's Richard Bland out of nowhere. I see tickets on him. Oosthuizen's still. Henley's got some nice tickets on here. But by far, I think golf has, since the pandemic, or maybe even before, but since the pandemic, has been one of the best sports to absolutely bet on.
Yeah, completely agree. It is, you know, we think about, like, what sports are our next stage of growth for PropSwap. It is golf, not even close. Like, it is the number one most growing sport on PropSwap. It's just the ability to buy and sell every day throughout the round. People always ask us, like, what's the latest point I can buy or sell a golf ticket on PropSwap? And the answer is literally on the 18th hole. On Sunday, like, you can be buying and selling all day long.
Yeah.
But the only app you can do that, even when things get legalized in Massachusetts, you can't sell your bet back to the casino. You can sell it for a horrible discounted cash out price, which is, you know, we've seen 200% cash out prices below market. So just a complete ripoff. But obviously with us, you can be buying and selling all weekend. So Louis Oosthuizen was 100-1 odds. He is now down to 5-1. Most of the other guys, you know, you mentioned Henley. He was like 200-1 odds. He's down to 10-1. Matthew Wolf opened at 80-1. He's 10-1. So it will be a really fun rest of the weekend. But, you know, golf is just perfect for buying and selling. So, you know, those swings, wink, wink, is really what drives the odds. And there's just up and down swings all weekend.
All right, Luke, one more question for her, right? And then if Joe, you want to finish anything up. We've talked, obviously, about the golf and the growing game, and I think that's awesome. I'm not a golf guy, and I'm an NBA guy. I want your personal Luke Pergandy thoughts on, first off, who wins the West, who wins tonight, and who wins the East. And then we get in the NBA Finals maybe next week, but or whatever. But I want your personal Luke Pergandy thoughts from basically everything you've seen on PropSwap. What do you think?
Yeah, so Phoenix Suns win the West. I just think that, you know, they got Bridges and DeAndre Ayton, and, like, Devin Booker's going to drop 40 on L.A. And, you know, L.A. has no Kawhi. Like, maybe my answer is it's a tougher decision if they had Kawhi Leonard, but without Kawhi, Phoenix is winning this. So then in the East, I mean, my God, man, it's annoying that this had to go to seven. I thought the Brooklyn Nets would roll, and there's, you know, obviously in game two and game five, they did just that. But they're just, the Bucks just aren't dying. So it obviously all comes down to tonight's game seven. I do think Brooklyn still wins it. But obviously, it makes me nervous in to push it to Game Seven. So even if Harden doesn't come back, I still believe that Brooklyn would beat. And I think Philly wins tomorrow night. Philly's like -300 to win tomorrow night.
7.5.
So I think Philly wins that, and I still think that Brooklyn will hopefully win tonight. I'm least confident of those of Brooklyn tonight. So I'm more confident about Phoenix winning and Philly winning. Tonight's Game 7 is difficult. But if they do win tonight, then Brooklyn advances past Philadelphia, and it's a Phoenix-Brooklyn NBA Finals.
You don't think the loss of Chris Paul is going to hurt Phoenix? Because I think, I mean, they're going to be without Chris Paul.
Have you seen a date range? I don't know what the date range is yet.
Probably three games, at least two games.
I've heard it's likely until at least Game 4. Especially since they're starting the series tomorrow, which I thought was crazy when I heard that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You're going to make Clippers turning it back around in you know, 36 hours, that's...
I know.
Yeah.
That seems... That's a good question, though. Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say that Chris Paul's involvement is less a stat line thing and it's more a leadership thing. Like, I can literally just picture him riding DeAndre Ayton in practice and Devin Booker in practice, like, in his ear, just telling them to constantly improve. So he'll still obviously, you know, be texting and calling them. So it's less, you know, his stat line, the box out against LeBron, that's now infamous, where LeBron just started crying, writhing in pain, in that first series where, you know, Phoenix, people forget Phoenix has won 7 games in a row. Like, this team is for real. They won 3 in a row to advance past LA, and they just swept the Nuggets. I get the Nuggets didn't have Jamal Murray, but they didn't have Jamal Murray the whole season. Like, this team's won 7 games in a row. So
we'll
they
see.
Are.
Rest can always be a problem for some teams, but he is
it
Luke. That's right.
Yeah, it can go the other way. That's right.
All right, he's Luke Pergandy, the prop father, prop swap. I know our friends on the golf show love hearing you as well. So appreciate your time today, Luke. We will catch up down the line, and hopefully we'll be buying tickets until the 18th hole this weekend, yeah. Man. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Dan. Bye, guys.
All right, he's Luke Pergandy, prop swap. I just wanted to mention this hour of the Sports Hub is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help you prepare your car for summer travel. Completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit GetAnOilChange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. Hour 2 next on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.